preaching and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 18, Moses reminds Israel and us that it is God who sustains our life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Reading from Deuteronomy 8, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the word of the Lord. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 13, Paul delivers a message of joy from a prison cell. His joy in such circumstances come from a firm understanding of God's purpose for his life, and his belief that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Reading from Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Rise up respectfully for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke. And there we learn that the blessings of God are more than wealth or health. Reading from Luke 17.
On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My message is taken from your Old Testament lesson for today. And I would like to read just one verse from there. "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." This is our text. If you believe in your heart that your life is of such a noble character that God should immediately bless you with $500 million, would you please stand up and let us recognize you and just say, "I am that person." You're all good Lutherans. Thanksgiving. What is it? It is the recognition of grace. As the scriptures themselves remind us, if we're getting what we've earned, that's wages. You don't have to say thank you for getting what you deserve. It's when you get what you don't deserve, that unearned, unmerited, undeserved gift, and recognize it. That's when we render thanksgiving. So you're standing in line at the local grocery store or drug store. The pot's up to $500 million. And you think to yourself, "Yeah, I probably shouldn't, but that's $2. And just ahead of you in line is this guy you used to know from work. He got canned because he wasn't that good of a worker. And he's been married and divorced 5 times. And he lives kind of near you, and you kind of think from the grow lights that you see glowing all night in his basement, maybe he's growing something he shouldn't be growing. He's unkept. And while he's in line picking up some stuff he probably doesn't need, he buys one of those tickets. And just after him, you buy yours. And then on the news the next day, you hear it. The winning $500 million ticket got sold to that guy. You were just behind him in line. It could have been yours. Good Lutherans that you are, would you still not say in your heart, "Lord, what's wrong with you? Maybe I don't deserve it, but he deserved it even less. How can you be upset by getting that which you don't deserve? And yet, doesn't that happen to us from time to time? God provides us with all that we need. He supports us. But somebody has some good fortune come their way, and you just go, why not me? Instead of being thankful for what we have, we're upset because of what we didn't receive that we didn't deserve. But of course, that guy who won it, what do you think he's saying to himself? What a blessing from God that I've received? Probably not. Instead of seeing it as a blessing, he's probably saying to himself, well, it's about time that something good happened to me. Grace. Let's recall that definition. Undeserved. Unmerited. It's amazing how we can look at grace given to others and suddenly think that it's something that we have earned. And it's not just grace given to others that can sometimes cause jealousy and resentment to rise in our hearts against others and against God Himself. Normally, you come home every day and your spouse or your kids, you ask them to do something, but you ask it in this way, you know, would you mind doing this for me? It would really help out. You're asking them for a kindness. It's not something you really deserve. It's just you're asking them out of the goodness of their hearts to help you in this way or that way. Well, that's how you are on a good day. And when they do it for you, you say, thank you very much. That was very nice of you. But what's it like when you come home after a lousy day? Are your requests of others, would you mind? It would be so nice if you could do this for me. Or is it, I've had a lousy day, you better. Suddenly we've turned what was grace into something we deserve just because we had a bad day. It is a tendency of our human nature. It was a tendency in the nature of Israel that God was warning about in our Old Testament lesson for today. Why did God choose Israel? He searches the scriptures for an answer to that question. The only answer it gives is because he loved them. Not because they were a great people, certainly not because they were obedient. They were often a rebellious people. He chose them because he loved them and was keeping his promises. They were slaves in Egypt, but he brought them out with a mighty and outstretched arm. He performed miracles before them. When they ran out of food in the desert, he fed them with manna. When they ran out of water, he gave them water out of a rock. He protected them. He cared for them, and then he gave them this wonderful land. Did they deserve it? No. But this is what God was worrying about as he spoke to them through Moses. That someday they would forget what grace is. An unmerited, an undeserved gift. And when they look at all that they had, their fine houses, their large flocks, their silver and their gold, that their hearts would be lifted up. And they'd forget the Lord their God, and they'd say, "My power and the strength of my hand has gotten me this well." They would stop being thankful. Not because they were not the recipients of grace. To the contrary, grace had been poured out upon them abundantly. They just stopped recognizing grace for what it is. They found reasons that they deserved it, that they earned it, that somehow it was their turn. They turned grace into their own works. And not only do they turn grace into works, they turn away from God. Because in their foolish hearts, not realizing that their life is dependent upon grace, and grace alone, that they can stand on their own. And they don't need God in their life anymore. Tonight we're commemorating the national holiday of Thanksgiving. A time when we're supposed to pause to remember all the blessings that God has given us. And it isn't just houses and homes and wife and children and fields and cattle and all the other things that Luther mentions in the explanation of the creeds. It's life itself. That life that we were guaranteed when we were baptized and united to Jesus Christ and to his resurrection. And also his death. We didn't deserve to have Christ come in this world to die for our sins. It's not something that we earned or merited. God didn't have to be good to us. It's because of his love and his mercy and his grace. It's because of who he is, not because of what we are. That Jesus Christ was sent into this world to take on our human flesh and to pay for our sins with his own death. You don't deserve heaven. But God has given it to you as a free gift. But he's given us so much more. He's given us homes to live in, food for our bodies, and all the other things that we need to support this body and this life. Not deserved, not earned, but simply out of his grace and his love for us. And when we get that, it's really quite natural to give thanks and praise to God. And it's the problem of our sinful nature. And so often in our lives, when we should be rendering him thanksgiving, we're rendering complaints, a jealousy. And resentment often fills our hearts as we behold what others have that we don't. When we treat others with disrespect and turn their kindness and their love into something that they owe to us rather than recognizing it for what it is. God's means of showing us grace in our lives through the blessings that others bring to us. We are creatures of grace. And the one thing that God asks of us is that we recognize it. That we put our faith and our trust in Him, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because He gives us grace, because of the mercy in His heart and His love. And it is to those who believe and trust in that grace that brought God to promises the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Not that it hasn't been earned already for all people, but sadly, most people, though it's already been set aside for them, never grasp it. Never welcome it into their lives. Never render thanks to God because they don't see it as grace. May God grant that we never forget the Lord our God and all that He has done for us and become like those of Israel or those around us each and every day, saying, "My power and my hand have gotten me this wealth." And may we forever remember the Lord our God, and that it is He who has given all things to us, and most of all, the forgiveness and eternal life that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV, copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.